most members of the military are steeped in ethics and professionalism from the outset. But in an organization as large as the Defense Department, bad apples are going to turn up sometimes. Recently, Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel appointed Navy Rear Admiral Peg Klein his senior advisor for military professionalism, looking across all of the armed services. Now, Peg Klein explains why her job came to be.
There were a series of publicized acts of misconduct. And in the wake of those acts, in the wake of that publicity, the secretary decided to stand up this office. And when he did that, in addition to focusing on the profession across the department, he also asked me to look at the programs throughout the services. And it was both to share best practices, but also to look for gaps in those programs. And so, to answer the second question you asked, perhaps, you know, there's a gap in the programs that train senior officers. And so we'll take a look at that. But to really get at the question you asked, by that time, don't senior officers understand what ethics are? You touched on an interesting point. Ethics is far more than just compliance with a set of directives and regulations. And that also is one of the jobs that we're taking on, one of the assignments we're taking on, to make sure that folks understand that ethics is doing the right thing when nobody's looking. It's not just complying with a series of directives.
There have been some widely publicized incidents. There was the training incident in the Air Force where there were sexual assault by training officers, and then there was the Missile Command in the Air Force that had some problems with test cheating, and there was a two-star general overseeing some of the nuclear armaments that kind of had a situation when he was on travel of misbehavior. Very different types of events. Is there a common thread to it, do you think?
So the common thread, I think, is that there is an increased level of transparency outside and inside the department. And that transparency causes all these incidents to be publicized. But the reality is, because of many factors, you know, when those things happen, even inside the command, and even when they don't make it to the public eye, they impact command's ability to do their job. And so let me expound on that a little bit. One of the basic tenets that we hold is that trust is foundational to everything we do. And for folks to trust their coworkers, for folks to trust their leaders, there is an element of transparency. And one of the things we've seen is in really strong commands, they are transparent. And transparency doesn't equal good news. Transparency means whatever the news is, whatever the communications are that are required, we will communicate to you good news or bad news. And so I think that the only thing many of these incidents had was a lack of transparency, and we've definitely found that increasing transparency inside the organization helps all understand and understand that they'll be held accountable.
Now, when people join the military by whatever route, you know, the academies or they enlist or whatever the case might be, there's a lot of, in the basic training, in the early training, the early parts of their career, that trust is instilled as part of doctrine. But not everyone goes on to direct battle situations. A lot of people become administrators, supply officers, and all kinds of support operation people, where maybe the trust situation is not quite as intense as required in actual combat. So are you looking at ways to make sure that the trust issue gets diffused as people move out of the point of entry into the military?
Yes, certainly. We are looking at the character development programs. Some people call them leadership development programs. Some call them professional development programs. We are looking at all those programs to, first of all, see which are the most effective and see if there are best practices that we can spread or share across or adapt to different services. So we're looking at a couple things. We're looking to see which programs in educating and training individuals to align with the profession so they understand what the profession is asking of them. Sometimes it will ask them to serve in combat. Sometimes it will ask them to serve in garrison for a number of years. They have to be prepared for both. And to be prepared for any situation, we want our professionals to align themselves with the profession. In aligning with the profession, we think they understand what's required of them, but at the same time, the profession gives back to them by giving them information they need to do their job, give them a work environment that engenders trust throughout the chain of command, and engenders dignity and respect throughout the chain of command. Certainly, there's a high-end skill required to send soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines into combat, but to function effectively on a daily basis, they need the same dignity and respect in their workplace.
We're speaking with Navy Rear Admiral Peg Klein, Senior Advisor for Military Professionalism in the Defense Department. And so we've been talking about individuals, and maybe there's 50 or 100 of them, in an organization that collectively is millions of people. Is it your sense that ethics and compliance, which again, as you pointed out, are two different things, and trust, is any worse in the military than in the public at large, or perhaps it's a little better, but we just, as you say, know about these things more?
I think that as we've looked across the information that's available to us, we've talked to academics both inside the department and outside the department to try to answer the question, are we in a crisis? What we've found is that we are not in a crisis, but we can improve. We have to improve, and we have to improve so that not only is the current generation able to be as effective as possible, but so that future generations are at least as well prepared as we have been.
What are some of the metrics for knowing whether the improvement programs that you institute are effective?
Well, we've been comparing ourselves against historic norms, and we've found that we are historically about the same, but that we're looking for improvement. And what kind of metrics we look at to see if programs are working? Command climate surveys are a very effective tool to see if there is trust in the workplace. There are 360-degree feedback mechanisms that some organizations, both inside the military and in corporate America, use. Some organizations use them for development. Some use them for evaluation. Some use mentoring. So there are many ways to look at behavior to understand what is an effective working environment and what is not.
And so what are some of the specific programs you're thinking about to increase the level of trust and start driving those survey climate results up to where you want them to be?
So what we're looking at is we're looking at the current education and training environments. We're talking to academics to say, are we using the most effective training and education programs that are out there? And what combination of education, training, and guided experience is required to provide the best results? I don't think we have any conclusive answers, but there is a lot of work that's already being done out in the civilian side that we can learn from, that we're already learning from in some cases.
It would seem like leadership at all levels, maybe not necessarily just the top leadership or the top brass, but at the brigade or whatever level, that there needs to be sensitivity there too, so that they have that transparency and are willing to jump on incidents and not look the other way.
Yeah, this requires a look at behavior across the board. Our work requires that we look not just at what senior leadership in the services think, but this requires us to go out and talk to folks, which the services have done in many cases, but go out and talk to folks and see what they think is most effective. One of the areas that we've seen has been a slight shift that we want to make sure that we've adapted to inside the department is the increasing amount of transparency that seems to be required by society. That seems like a shift in the past 10 to 15 years, and we want to make sure that we're on board with providing that transparency from E1 to O10.
Now, is this a permanent assignment for you? I mean, what's your timeline? What does Secretary Hagel expect from you in particular?
Sure. When the secretary gave me this assignment, he said it would be a minimum of 1 year. The office was stood up to be approximately a 2-year assignment, but it's designed to be a temporary office. So I'll be here for likely 1 to 2 years.